back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here with my broadcast partner in crime, as always, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
As they say, you know, it is what it is.
It's Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's Tuesday, but no complaints here. You know, I think today was a really nice day weather-wise. Finally got some abundant sunshine. It was above 60 degrees. You know, we're on the hot heels of spring, the first day of spring being a week from today, actually, the 19th. And, you know, obviously, still also adjusting to that daylight savings time where, you know, lose an hour of sleep over the weekend, but we have that extra hour of sunlight. So, you know, pros and cons to every situation, but
yes.
Content, I guess, is what it can be.
It makes sense. I like to call March the bipolar weather month because you'll have days where it gives you that false sense of like, oh, hey, it's going to be 70 degrees and sunny today. And you're like, oh, spring is here. And then you have days like yesterday and Sunday where it was cold and windy.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, March and April are going to be very all over the place weather-wise between, you know, rain. Knock on wood, we don't get like a freak snowstorm one of these months. That's happened in the past. But, hey, you know, 4 years ago at this point, the world was shutting down, so...
I know. It's
it
crazy.
Could be worse.
Yeah, I think we did a podcast the first night that the league shut down everything down 4 years ago.
I think today is like the 4-year anniversary of the NHL shutting down.
It is.
The NBA shut down first, which was like the first domino to fall in the sports world, and then everything else followed suit.
Yeah.
I think, ironically, the Flyers played the Sharks their last game, too, before the shutdown? Or is it the Bruins?
I'm pretty sure it was the Bruins.
Maybe they were supposed to play San Jose, and then that was the game that got, the first of obviously many games that got canceled.
Which is funny, because the Flyers are currently playing the Sharks tonight.
Yeah.
As we record.
Yeah, and we can get right into that, too, here, instead of rambling on about, you know, a pandemic. But
been there, done that.
Exactly. That's in the past. Let's leave it behind us where it deserves to be. But living in the present, the Flyers, like you said, Dave, are currently playing the San Jose Sharks. It is 1-1 with the first period just ending a couple minutes ago. Shots on goal are at 11 for the Flyers, 10 for the Sharks. Joel Farabee opened the scoring with a nice breakaway goal off a beautiful pass from Morgan Frost. To make it 1-0, and then sadly the Flyers gave up a goal with just over 40 seconds left in the period from one Philip Zadina. So, not the best start, and, you know, the Flyers, in short, this is a must-win because, you know, as we said before, March is going to be an insane month for, you know, moving and shaking in the standings. The Flyers have the New York Islanders hot on their heels, just 2 points behind them in the standings.
Mm-hmm.
And the Islanders also have, I believe, 3 games in hand.
I can tell you.
Which is not, you know, you don't want to have someone chase you down like that. So the Flyers, you know, again, I said it was consistency was the biggest thing. And, I mean, we'll go over the absolute train wreck of the game from Saturday night.
The Islanders have one game in hand now.
Oh, okay. That's not as bad as I thought then.
No. But, they got beat by the Kings last night, which was a huge victory for the Kings and a huge loss for them. So.
There you go. But, you know, Flyers are in the gauntlet right now, and this is arguably their easiest game in the next 2 weeks, and it's a trap game because – you know, spoiler alert, they got absolutely destroyed by the Tampa Bay Lightning on Saturday night in Tampa Bay, a whopping
with a depleted lineup. They really,
I mean,
did
that
not
was
have a good lineup.
What is that? Murphy's Law? Anything that can go wrong will go wrong.
I think that's what there was some debatable officiating.
Yeah, as well. I mean, we'll get into that too. Obviously, you know, the back half of the podcast, we'll do our trade deadline recap, just run through some trades. But for now, we're going to keep it Flyers focused. Obviously, you know, the Flyers did make a couple trades before the deadline, aside from the Sean Walker one that we went over last week. But,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, Dave, I think, you know, the last time that we talked was, let's see, as I get the schedule up here. Of course, the NHL app is being touchy. So, oh, yeah, okay. So we talked about the Blues game on the 4th. And then the Flyers were the Cardiac Kids in Florida, Sunrise, Florida, against the Florida Panthers. You know, the best team in the league, statistics-wise. The Panthers, I believe, were – they had only lost 3 out of their last 16 or 3 out of their last 19, I believe.
Yeah, they were on a heater.
The Flyers have been 2 of those losses, which is crazy. But, I mean – that game on Thursday was nothing short of exciting. The Flyers and the Panthers are tied 1-1 going late into the third period. And, you know, the man himself, Garnet Hathaway, buries a juicy rebound behind the back of Sergei Bobrovsky and gives the Flyers the 2-1 lead with 20 seconds left in the game. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the Flyers hold on for that last 20 seconds and they pull out, you know, a huge win against the league's best team. Come out of, you know, Sunrise, Florida with, you know, vibes are high. And then, you know, in short, go into Tampa Bay. And, I mean, if you want to talk about getting struck by lightning, holy hell, you know, they just, again, right out of the gate, it was ugly. And it was an ugly 60 minutes all the way through. You know, Flyers give up 3 power play goals, drops them down to now second place in the NHL, just behind the LA Kings for PK percentage. You know, second place isn't bad, but obviously the power play is horrible. Last in the league, shout out the Flyers. The Pico power play is not very powerful. Anyway, on top of that, you know, the main topic of discussion, it even went viral in, you know, the hockey world, was John Tortorella getting ejected from the game by referee Wes McCauley, after giving him, you know, a bunch of lip about something. And then Torts pulled a Wolf of Wall Street and was, you know, I'm not effing leaving. Very colorful language, which I was like, hell yeah. But then, you know, he finally vacates the bench. And to make matters worse, you know, the NHL, the wheel of discipline spins again. And, you know, it lands on one of those, like, skull and crossbones for the Flyers, where not only does John Tortorella get fined $50,000, he gets suspended for 2 games. And, you know, obviously the Flyers have the San Jose game going on now. Their next game is Thursday night against the Toronto Maple Leafs at home. So, you know, it just – this is a game that the Flyers need to win. Otherwise, it's time to hit – not the panic button, but you got to hit some sort of button to kind of, like, you know,
the concerned button.
Unplug them and plug them back in. Like the
blow in the cartridge, plug it back in.
Yeah, like they're an internet modem that's not working, where you just unplug it for 30 seconds, plug it back in, and suddenly your internet works again. But
you got to do the trick. You got to fix the Red Ring of Death on your old Xbox 360 by overheating it to fuse the thing back together that unfuses that caused Red Ring.
Yep.
Yeah, those are the days.
I mean, we can go on for days about all the analogies here, but, you know, Dave, flat out, the Flyers, again, I think this is a must-win game against the Sharks. And, again, I've said this multiple times. I'll say it again throughout the whole month of March here. We're just about halfway through, but this is the toughest, you know, stretch of their schedule at the most important time here. So,
yeah,
they need to get it together, and they need to get it together fast because, you know, it's not going to get any easier. The Islanders, again, are right on their heels. The Flyers could easily be on the outside looking in here in the next, you know, 4 games, which is crazy because they've been in a playoff spot for 8
months. I want to say since, like, December.
Yeah. I think even before that.
Like around November, around Thanksgiving, they were still in the playoffs. Yeah. U.S. Thanksgiving, they were in the playoffs.
Yep.
They were in that third Metro spot, and that's where they've stayed all year.
Yep. But, you know, I mean, again, that Tampa Bay Lightning game is one that you obviously have to flush. You have to actually burn it and then flush it. You know, make sure there's no trace of it left. And, I mean, you would have thought, again, they would have had so much more momentum coming off that Florida win, but obviously not. So, you know, they need to get it together. They need guys to step up here, and they have some new blood, which is good, which should kind of, you know, hopefully kick things in the ass. But, you know, Dave, what are your thoughts here over the last two games, you're feeling tonight and you're feeling going forward here?
I mean, for tonight's game, I can echo everything you said, Matt. It is a must win because this is by far, on paper, the easiest game they have until March 28th when they play the Montreal Canadiens. Their upcoming schedule, like you mentioned, is Toronto Thursday, Boston Saturday, Toronto next Tuesday, Carolina next Thursday, Boston next Saturday, and then Florida the following Sunday, the 24th, then the Rangers on the 26th. That is a gauntlet. Granted, they are, it's like half Atlantic, half Metro teams, but they're Eastern Conference powerhouses until they get to the Canadiens and the Blackhawks to close out the month. This stretch of games very well could make or break the Flyers season. If they go 500, and I think, you know, in that span, something they could easily do, you know, they'll probably stay pace and keep where they're going in the standings. But if they drop the majority of these next, six games, you know, they're going to be in some trouble. I don't think it'll completely get them out of the picture, but then it'll become a scenario where, like, now they're playing must-win games in April, where it's like, if we want to make the playoffs, we need to win every single game. And yeah. April's kind of, sort of easier. The biggest game is Monday, April 1st. They do play the New York Islanders at home. Mm-hmm. That could be the game where it's like, okay, this is gonna kind of seal our fate. You know, Buffalo, Columbus, Montreal, Rangers, Devils, Capitals. That's how they close out the month of April after the Islanders game. So tonight's game, I'm going to speak it in existence, is a must win because the San Jose Sharks are a terrible, terrible, terrible rebuilding team that has zero assets. And they're just a straight up bad hockey team that the Flyers should easily beat. But it's a trap game because it's the easiest game on the schedule in the next 2 weeks here. So hopefully they can pull it out. You know, hopefully they can come in and get the second and third period taken care of nice and easily. And they walk out with a couple, you know, hopefully only allow this one goal. And we move forward from there with a nice victory in regulation. If they go to overtime or a shootout, it's okay because it's a Western Conference team. But you need to get the extra point. You need to win. Going back before we get to the Tampa Bay debacle, last Thursday night, man, that win against the Panthers, hype. When Hathaway scored, I would have did a yeah, like an audible yell. Scared my wife. She was not paying attention. She was on her phone scrolling, and I gave her a good old scare jump because I was ecstatic. So that was great to see, and it's nice to see the Flyers. They played the Florida Panthers really well this year. Like, they're a team in the past couple of years has given the Flyers fits, and the Flyers have learned now this year, like, oh, we can counter this. So that was really huge, and that was really good to see, especially beat Sergei Bobrovsky, you know, our old Tendy. We've got to love Bob. So that was a huge victory. And I just love Garnet Hathaway. We were both pretty critical of the Hathaway signing in the offseason. But the more and more he's played this year, the more and more he's become one of my favorite players on the team. You know, ideally, you thought you'd be getting more offense from him, but he's a guy, he knows his role. Mm. He's a bottom six forward who can give you some up end in scoring and give you some nice points there. But he'll drop the mitts. He'll make the big hits. He'll stick up for the team no matter what. He's the type of culture guy this team needed. And he's also, I mean, the difference between him and Delorier is that Hathaway actually has skill and can play hockey. Whereas Delorier is just kind of a punching bag out there. So love that Hathaway got that goal. I mean, I love Nick Delorier too, because he's that old time physical hockey player who brings you all those intangibles. But when it comes to skill, Hathaway has the clear advantage.
Yeah.
Going now into the Tampa Bay debacle, not going to lie, a game I turned off after the first period. Did not watch the second and third period. I said, if the Flyers have mailed this game in, I'm not going to waste my time watching the rest of this. Because I knew, like, they're not going to win. The Tampa Bay Lightning were celebrating their 04 Stanley Cup championship. They had the whole team back there. Torts was honored pregame. And, you know, it was bang, bang, bang. I was like, 3-0. Like, holy crap. Like, where is this going? And then a bad call gets made by Wes McCauley's rookie referee partner. And Torts just starts giving it to him.
Yeah.
And then Wes McCauley, being Wes McCauley and trying to be the center of the attention, says, you know what? See ya. You're tossed. And then Torch tries to engage him in a conversation, and he just ignores him, turns the back, is on the other side of the ice, and refuses to go talk to him. That's when Torch pulled his Wolf of Wall Street, I'm not effing leaving. And, you know, and thus eventually he did leave, but then, you know, that earned him the $50,000 fine, which Dan Helferty already came out in the media and said, we will respect any decision the NHL makes, but there's a fine. We're paying the bill, not John Tortorella. It's kind of been rumored that maybe the fine would have been less, because it's the fact that Angel's saying, well, if you're going to say this now, we're going to double down on you.
Yeah.
But it's $50,000 to Comcast Victor. That's literally nothing. If they lose $50,000, they're not even noticing it. So, but it's a great thing to see, because it's something Ed Snyder would have done. And of course, the Flyers fans, we're going to eat that up. That's great. Mm-hmm. The two game sussy sucks, and it is kind of it's almost laughable. Because I mean, I get maybe one game because he technically refused to leave the ice. Can you imagine if a player got ejected and said, "I'm not going"? Yeah. Like, that would be a bad look. So I get at least one game, but two games, because Wes McCauley and the league have an ego. You know, it's also very frustrating because the NHL officials, they don't have anyone to answer to. Mm. Like, they're not given media time. The media is not allowed to ask them questions. They just do whatever they want. And it's Colin Campbell, who's the head of officiating. His son is Gregory Campbell, former Boston Bruins player. And this is, you know, it's questionable, and it doesn't sit right with me, because Colin Campbell, the player, or that's not the executive who's in charge of these decisions, who's in charge of the referees, literally back in 2007 and 2010 was caught via emails of him were leaked to head referees calling players in the league fakers and divers. And in the 2011 playoff run, in which the Bruins won the cup, Colin Campbell was caught emailing refs complaining about the calls they were making on his son. This is an executive of the National Hockey League who is in charge of the officials, giving the officials crap for doing their job properly.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, he's trying to fix the game. So you have a guy like this who's in charge of officials making a suspension on John Tortorella. It's essentially the league saying, listen, we need blind obedience. Mm-hmm. And our terrible referees aren't going to have to answer for their decisions. And you're just going to deal with it. It's kind of another, you know, another petal on a flower that makes people go, why is the NHL the way it is? They can't seem to get out of their own way. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. I mean, I see both sides here. I get having some form of punishment needed because Torts did refuse to leave the bench, but two games to me is like, come on, like, what are we doing here? And now you also have to keep in mind, like, referees remember stuff. Like, do you remember back in when Dennis Wyman injured that referee where he slashed him in Calgary the one year, and he earned himself a 20-game suspension, and then he never played the league again. That obviously that ref was never able to ref again. But the next season, the following season after Weidman served the suspension, the penalty differential for the Calgary Flames to their other teams was insane in the other way. The referees took the whole season to get their revenge on the Calgary Flames. Like, were they unfairly punished a team because of the acts of one of their players? So now I wonder if, because of Torts' actions, will the Flyers be getting less calls in their favor going down the stretch? Because it's clear from the actions of Colin Campbell, and now you see retired referee Tim Peel on Twitter and his activity and his behavior, and he was literally caught fixing a game. That's why he got forced to retire, essentially. You see his behavior online, and you go, you know, these officials, they don't exactly have the exact character. They don't seem to be indifferent like an official should be. And now I'm worried that if there's a, if the Flyers need a big call to go their way, they might not get it now because these officials aren't objective. So yeah, it sucks. It's a game, you know, I think it's only the second or third game I've turned off this year.
Going down the officiating rabbit hole.
It's a rabbit hole we can go down and down and down. And it's just, they're just bad. They're just bad at their job, the NHL officials. It is what it is. I don't really complain about it too much because I go in expecting, I know they're going to be shit. So why get worked up about it? But where it concerns me now, Matt, is the fact that now it could affect the Flyers in their current games when it shouldn't, because they're serving the punishment.
I mean, I see where you're coming from, but I would hope that, you know, the situation would be different, where I can see, you know, physically doing something to a referee is definitely different than, you know, you hurt a guy's feelings.
Oh, 100%.
Like, but yeah, I mean, I would hope that it wouldn't come to that point.
I mean, just
because, you know, like, these refs get chirped all the time. Like, you gotta
and they chirp the players back. It was just the other week.
Didn't to be a professional sports referee, you know, in any capacity. Like, even, I mean, you've seen it too. Parents and mites hockey at winter sport, you know.
Oh, well, that's different. Those are amateur referees who do it for very little money. NHL referees are paid professionals.
I don't know. But I would, you know, I would hope, again, that it doesn't go as far as, you know, there's some sort of vendetta against the Flyers because, you know, Tortorella yelled at the guy. Like, that would
you would hope stupid. Not, but I mean, the behavior of their officials and, you know, Tim Peel online gives me warrant for concern. That's not a sane, rational human being.
Yeah, but I also think Tim Peel doesn't represent the NHL at this point because he basically, you know, got...
No, but if he's acting like that still, you have to think he still has buddies who are still reffing. Like, it's...
Yeah.
And if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, you know?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you know, again, I just think that... Or again, I would hope that it wouldn't go as far. It's like, you know, some dude yelled at me, I wouldn't have some sort of vendetta against him. I would think he's an asshole, but I wouldn't, like, you know, make it my mission to make his life miserable just because he, you know, wronged me verbally. Like, so.
You would hope not. But, I mean, that Tampa game, Matt, I think that's only the second or third game I've turned off this whole entire year. Much improvement since over last season.
I mean, I'm a sucker for pain. I just kept the game on my iPad when I was watching something else, and I was like, oh, it's 7-0. And then
we were watching TV. We were watching other things, and we just made a point to keep just up to date on the score and just kind of, oh, it's 5-0, 6-0, 7-0. They got the extra point. Cool. So it's a clunker. Flush it. Forget about it. Move on. But yeah, it definitely put them in the spot where, with the Islanders right on their butts, every game's a big game.
Yeah. And then, you know, just to kind of wrap things up here for the Flyers before we get into, well, I guess the Flyers trade deadline, but also the NHL trade deadline. The next three games here before we possibly come back to everyone here on the airwaves, we've got, again, the Toronto Maple Leafs at home at the Wells Fargo Center on Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday evening in Boston. I'm already mentally preparing for that one. The Flyers play the Bruins in TD Garden on the eve also on the eve of St. Patrick's Day. So, you know,
oh, Boston's going to be a gong
show. Bostonians are going to be completely in one at that point.
Get the Dropkick Murphys playlist loaded. Flogging yeah. Molly, let's go.
So, yeah, I mean, that's going to be a doozy, regardless of the result. And then, again, the Flyers play the Toronto Maple Leafs on Tuesday the 19th, again at the Wells Fargo Center. So, you know, you got three games, but two of them are against the same opponent. So the hope is, I say, you know, they if they win one of these and maybe if they get 3 points out of three games, I'll be okay. But you can't let, you know, this can't be a three-game losing streak.
No, it can't.
Because it can easily turn into a six-game losing streak because then you have Carolina, Boston, and Florida. Or fucking seven. Sorry, excuse my language. Put the explicit. Put the explicit. Sorry, I got heated there for a second. But, I mean, they play the Rangers, too, on the 26th. So, I mean, I mean that the Flyers have to get their act together here and quickly. So, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. But moving on from the Flyers games that we have discussed, Matt, the Flyers did make some more additions to the team on the deadline itself Friday. First, acquiring longtime defenseman, former first overall pick defenseman, but back from the 2004 or 5 draft, I believe, they got Eric Johnson from the Buffalo Sabres, a big, physical, right-handed defenseman. Needless to say, he's on the back nine of his career.
He even admitted it.
Yeah, he used to be an offensive two-way physical force. He's lost all of his offensive gifts, but he's really a good guy for the locker room, for your third pairing. He's a vibes guy. He's a guy who can show these young players on the team what it takes to win and make the playoffs and do well. They get him for a fourth round selection in this year's draft, so they really don't give up anything for him, essentially. Fourth round picks are kind of like whatever. The Flyers have enough picks anywhere else. Overall, I like this deal because he's better than Mark Stahl, in my opinion. And the Flyers, it was very clear they needed to bring in a body on defense with the injuries they have, the Drysdale and Ristolainen, and now Nick Seeler. They needed someone else in their lineup, but you couldn't just run the gambit and hope that Addard and Ginning panned out. Both those two played very well in their on their season debut in Florida last Thursday night, but it's clear they needed more help than just that. So bring in Johnson. I don't mind at all. Fourth round picks, nothing, and he's going to be a good, you know, he's going to be a nice fit on the third pair.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can't, you know, you can't be mad at this at all. I think, again, if anything, Eric Johnson is, well, he is a rental because his contract is up after the season's over.
Probably going to retire.
Yeah. And again, like I said earlier, he basically admitted and is okay with the fact that, again, you know, he's on the back nine of his career and he's not nearly as effective as he used to be. Not saying he's not a good player, but he's just older. I mean, it happens, you know.
Yeah.
You can't.
Father Time catches up to all of us.
Yeah, you can't outrun Father Time. But it's a great, you know, third pairing defenseman to have as a Seeler replacement. Seeler obviously being on IR with, I think, did they formally announce what it was? I think it's a broken foot, right?
He's got a foot injury. It's probably a broken foot, but they haven't officially announced it yet.
An LBI.
Yeah, it's an LBI. Not Long Beach Island.
Yep.
Lower body injury.
But yeah, I mean, I like it. I'm not going to complain about giving up a fourth round pick for a guy who, again, just brings the vibes, like you said, Dave, and can still play the game to a degree. And that's all you really need at this point.
Yeah, and he's actually, he is former teammates of one, Danny Briere.
Yeah.
Danny Briere played for the Colorado Avalanche his final season in the National Hockey League, in which Eric Johnson was a longtime member of that team. So there's some familiarity there.
Yep. So thumbs up for that trade.
Yes.
And, you know, we move on to the next one.
Yeah. The next deal is one I'm very intrigued about. The Flyers acquired Denis Garionov from the Nashville Predators in exchange for Wade Allison. Play your taps. Sad to see you go, Wade Allison. But it was clear he had no future in the current organization in the new era of Orange. The new regime seemed to sour on him. And then when he got sent down to the Phantoms this year and he essentially threw a hissy fit, it kind of really like, okay, he's never playing for the Flyers ever again. But they get Darius Dens-Gerionov back. And Gerionov was a first-round pick of the Dallas Stars a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. In that COVID bubble in that year, he had 20 goals for the Dallas Stars. And he went on an unreal heater in the postseason and helped the Dallas Stars make the Stanley Cup final. And he's an interesting character because he hasn't really hit that mark ever since then. Mm-hmm. He's 26, turning 27. He's incredibly fast, and he's 6'3", 205 pounds.
He almost scored tonight.
So he's got a big boy. He's got big size. You know, he's a nice little rental. I believe he's an RFA or a UFA after this season. So we'll see what happens. It's kind of a big test for him. But overall, low risk, high reward for the Flyers. If he can kind of return to form here, what he was in Dallas, the Flyers could have found a nice piece for them on the left wing. So I like it. You know, you brought in an asset for an asset that you knew wasn't going to come back and be part of your organization. You said goodbye to Wade Allison. You bring in Darren Skarjanov and hope that the Flyers can work some magic with him and get some magic beans out of it. But I like the move. Look forward to watching him the rest of this season and hopefully in the playoffs. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think this is just a low-risk, possible, medium reward. Like you said, Dave, Gurionov's contract is up at the end of the season. He's only carrying an 850K cap hit, too. So that's really, you know, pocket change for an NHL organization.
Yeah, he was in the minor leagues. He was in with the Milwaukee Admirals earlier this season. Yep. He had, like, 30 points in 40 games.
Yeah. So
the scoring touch is still there.
Yep. And, you know, he's definitely older from a, you know, an athletic standpoint, but could potentially be, depending on how he does the rest of this season, one of those, like, and I use this very loosely just because, again, he might not even be here next season, but one of those reclamation projects.
Yeah, he'll be 27 on June 7th.
Oh, that's my birthday.
There you go. That's why I'm like, June 7th, that sounds
right. Add one to the list.
So you share a birthday with Dennis Gerionov.
There we go. I also share one with Mike Modano and Allen Iverson.
It's a great birthday.
And Liam Neeson.
Phenomenal birthday.
And Prince, RIP.
Do you have a particular set of skills?
Yes. I will find you, and I will kill you. Oh, my God. I thought the Sharks scored. But anyway, yeah, Gurionov trade, another thumbs up. He's a decent guy, you know, good depth player, good meat potatoes guy. Fills the lineup out, but I'm not going to expect too much from him.
No.
The rest of the season, we'll see, you know. Oh, man, I'm, like, hesitant to use playoffs at this point because
Yeah, because it still could not happen, but the Flyers still did sell.
Can't let it slip away.
The Flyers still did sell, you know, in trading Sean Walker. That was very much a sell. But then bringing in Gerionov and Eric Johnson, that's kind of the Flyers saying, hey, listen, you know, we realize we're in a spot here where we can make the postseason, and we don't want to give up on this season just yet. So we'll see what happens, and we're going to bring in Johnson and Gerionov, and we'll go from there. It's rewarding the current group a little bit. It's not like they spent a whole lot of money to bring in big assets. They didn't load up like other teams did. Yes. And as we're talking about this, the Flyers just scored to take a 2-1 lead. I believe Morgan Frost.
Morgan Frost on the power play of all things.
A gasp. In this economy?
Man. Lucky bounce, honestly. But I'll take it, you know. Hey. They don't ask how, they ask how many.
Exactly.
So exactly. Flyers up 2-1 in the second period here off a power play goal from Morgan Frost. And we are back to your regularly scheduled program here, Dave. As you know, as many of the listeners know, unless you live under a rock, the NHL trade deadline was this past Friday, March 8th, at 3:00 Eastern. And you know, leading up to that, obviously we had the Flyers deals that we did go over. They were active. You know, they didn't have to be overly active, which is good. I think they did what they needed to do for the time being. You got that first round pick out of the Sean Walker trade, and, you know, get a good deal out of a couple of rental players. So, you know, I give the Flyers trade deadline a thumbs up. You know, nothing crazy, nothing, you know. It's not like we had, you know, he who must not be named. There we go. You know, plugging things into the NHL video game and saying, oh, well, it didn't work, so I didn't want to do it in real life. So, but yeah, I mean, for our Around the League segment, we'll transform it for this week into our trade deadline recap. And for the listeners out there, you know, not to go through every single trade and spend 3 hours on this because Dave,
there was a lot this year.
Yes. But, you know, we have our lives to get back to tonight on top of, you know, relaxing and enjoying ourselves watching the remainder of the Flyers game after we are done recording. So, you know, for our own sakes, but also for the listeners' sakes, we won't go through every trade because, like you said, Dave, there were a lot. But let me bring up my trade tracker here, courtesy of NHL.com. And, you know, Dave, like I said before, we kind of discussed before we started recording, we'll just kind of rapid fire through some deals, give our quick thoughts on, you know, both sides, I guess, if you want to call it that. And then to end things, we'll do a quick little, again, rapid fire segment of who we think, quote unquote, won the trade deadline, who we think, quote unquote, lost the trade deadline, and who we think stayed the same. So, but without further ado, the first one, let's see, I'm just going to randomly pick here. This was a big one, and they were obviously very active. The Vegas Golden Knights acquired forward Thomas Hertl, a third-round pick in the 2025 NHL draft and a third-round pick in the 2027 draft from the San Jose Sharks, who the Flyers are currently playing, in exchange for forward David Edstrom and a first-round pick in the 2025 NHL draft. So, Dave, just some quick thoughts on this trade. Obviously, you know, Vegas is loaded up for a playoff run to defend their Stanley Cup title, and, you know, Thomas Hertl definitely adds to that skill.
Yeah, the Vegas Golden Caps Convention Knights struck again. I have thoughts on that. We'll get to it when we discuss their winners of the trade deadline. But no, this was a deal that no one saw coming because Hertl just re-upped in San Jose last year for 8 more years. And the Sharks are retaining salary on this deal. Mm-hmm. They didn't really get a whole lot of good value in back for it. But it's a really nice ad by Vegas. It makes their center depth incredibly insane. They've loaded up, and it's another nice ad for the defending Stanley Cup champions. They're currently, though, the Vegas Golden Knights are in the second wild card in the Western Conference. There's a slight chance they miss the postseason. What's absolutely insane to me, though, is with this trade deadline, the Vegas Golden Knights still have their first-round pick this year.
Yep.
In all the deals they made, in the trades they made, they still managed to keep their first-round pick. That's some really good GMing by Kelly McCrimmon.
I think this is the first round pick they've had since the expansion draft.
Yeah, every other year they traded it away. No, they picked last year, but they traded away that draft pick, I believe, in this deal. So they don't really... You know, they're in win now mode. They're putting all their aces. What's a gambling reference you can use? You know, they're going all in. You know, all the chips are in the basket. They're doing what they always do. They don't care. They have no loyalty to players. They say, listen, you're going to play here. We're going to win and we're going to go for it. And, you know, in their short year in existence, they've been in the cup final once and lost. They've gone again and they won. So, you know, they just kind of do their business and they take names and go about their way. So it's a nice ad for a team that's very, very good. So they're in a surprising spot in the standings. But no, Thomas Hertl, I think, will be a nice fit to the Vegas Golden Knights when he's healthy and return. It'll be the first time he's been on a good hockey team in almost 6 years for Hertl. So he could be a nice, I could see him having a lot of success in and out his career with the Golden Knights.
I'm going to have to start spelling the word Knights, LTIR.
Yeah, right?
And staying on the Golden Knights, another trade that happened on March 6th, 2 days before the deadline, this one being a three-way trade in which the Flyers were involved in.
Yes, they were.
We have to pay our respects to one Noah Hanifin, former Philadelphia Flyer for
legend
20 minutes, maybe. Yeah. You know, I can't wait to, like I said on Twitter, buy my tickets to the Noah Hanifin banner raising game. Just to, you know, a legend of Philadelphia. Thank you for being on our team for so long.
Thank you for your service.
We wish you luck on your next endeavor. But in all seriousness, the Golden Knights did acquire defenseman Noah Hanifin in a three-team trade with the Calgary Flames and, again, the Philadelphia Flyers. Calgary received a first-round pick in the 2025 NHL draft. Defenseman Daniil Miramanov, there's a name for you, and the conditional third-round pick in the 2025 draft. And the Flyers themselves received a fifth-round pick in the upcoming 2024 draft. I believe the Flyers are also retaining 17% of Hanifin's contract.
Kurt, for the rest of the season, the Vegas Golden Knights also got the signing rights to one Mikhail Vorobyev.
Wow.
That's a name I have not heard in a long, long time.
You know, a little bit of a complex one there. The Flyers getting in on the web of the Golden Knights, but they get a pick out of it, which is good.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great ad for Vegas. Again, another great ad for Vegas. It makes their defense incredibly deep. And if they sign Hanifin to an extension, like, wow. And they got him from a division rival too. Not another good trade by Calgary. Craig Conroy is off to a very rocky start as GM of the Flames. So, great ad for Vegas. Hanifin was a player I was hoping was going to maybe make it to the UFA market. Daydreaming. Imagine him on the Flyers defense. But you know, he's reunited with his Boston boy and Jack Eichel in Vegas, and they're going to make some noise. It's another really nice ad for them.
Yep. The 8:30 train is also here, in case you're wondering.
I think I just heard it.
And San Jose just tied the game.
Yep. I think Zadina again.
Flyers lose.
Well, they took back to – essentially, San Jose just had 4 minutes of power play time. Zamula took a bad penalty, and then Hathaway took another penalty. Zadina, like, right after they killed. Again. Yeah. You know, Philip Zadina, listen, he was a high pick by the Detroit Red Wings. He never panned out there, and he got traded to San Jose for essentially nothing. The kid's got talent. And he could become an elite goal scorer. He was that in juniors. He didn't really get that chance with the Red Wings. Maybe San Jose's the right home for him.
I'm gonna be physically ill if we somehow lose this game. But
we already lost to the Sharks earlier this year.
Dude, what the hell, man? Don't jinx it.
I knocked on my dining room table.
To distract myself from this current mess that the Flyers have found themselves in. Our next trade.
It's 2-2. It's 2-2 with 6 minutes to go in the second period.
This should be like the Tampa Bay game. The Flyers should be up 5-0 right now.
Again, trap game.
Yeah. Sorry.
There's the train. I hear it.
How many F words are we allowed to use? Anyway. Technically as many as we want, but I don't want it to be in poor taste.
Yes.
But back to trades. Sorry, I'm mentally derailed here, no pun intended, because the train just got here. But on March 8th, the day of the deadline, the Boston Bruins acquired forward Pat Maroon from the Minnesota Wild for forward Luke Toporowski and a conditional sixth-round pick in the 2026 NHL draft. Maroon and the Bruins, you know, famously have not gotten along, and most notably their commentator Jack Edwards called Maroon fat, like the
earlier this year
Jack Edwards is calling a player fat, like, so, and now he's a part of the team. So yeah, that's one of those record scratch moments where it's like, I bet you're wondering how I got here, and there it is. So, but yeah, Pat Maroon is now a member of the Boston Bruins.
I mean, he's a prototypical Boston Bruins player. He's going to fit in with that lineup very, very well. It's a nice ad for the big bad beast. Their center depth is lacking. I think they should have addressed that at this deadline. But they're still a dangerous hockey team. And Maroon's going to fit very nicely on that fourth line. He fills the void that Milan Lucic left. You know, Milan Lucic's currently, you know, arrested on domestic violence charges. So he's a scumbag. But Maroon fits that void that they lost when Lucic got arrested. So, well, Pat Maroon, I was a big fan of his even when he was here with the Phantoms when he was coming up. He in his couple years in Edmonton and in Anaheim after he's with the Flyers, where he was actually putting up almost 20 goals a season. I was like, man, they got rid of one. But Paul Holmgren was not a fan of him. So, but he was real. I remember watching him at the Spectrum play for the Phantoms. I thought he was going to be really something for the Flyers, but he's had a hell of a career.
Well, he is something, but just not for the Flyers.
No, I mean, if the Flyers wanted to get rid of DeLaurier and sign Maroon this summer, I'd be all for it. But it's probably not going to happen.
We can dream, though. We can dream. But moving on, Dave, to our next pair of deals, we're going to go to Carolina, to the Carolina Hurricanes. First off, a more minor deal where they did acquire longtime Washington Capitals forward Evgeny Kuznetsov from the Washington Capitals for a third-round pick in the 2025 draft. Kuznetsov was actually sent down to the AHL affiliates of the Capitals, the Hershey Bears.
Mm-hmm.
I was blanking on who their affiliate was, but I'm like, we were just at the game last year. So,
2 years ago.
Jesus, time flies, man.
I know.
Anyway, but, you know, Kuznetsov, a longtime Capital, arguably the catalyst in the Capitals winning their Stanley Cup, because the Capitals finally took down the Pittsburgh Penguins in the Eastern Conference. It was the conference finals, correct?
Semifinals.
In overtime, the famous Eagle celebration. So, you know, a guy who's going to be remembered, I think, no matter where he's at this point, for being a Washington Capital. Maybe he has his jersey retired. Who knows? I don't know if he was that. I mean, you know, he's a pretty big piece of their history organization, mm-hmm. So I could see it. But, and then, again, sticking in Carolina, Dave, I'll just kind of go for a twofer here. The bigger of the two deals, obviously, Carolina acquired forward Jake Guentzel and defenseman Ty Smith from the Pittsburgh Penguins for forward Michael Bunting, forward prospects Vasily Panomarev. There we go. And Ville Koivunen. Those are a couple names right there. And also the rights to forward Cruz Lucius. That sounds like a Harry Potter character. A conditional first-round pick in the 2024 draft and a conditional fifth-round pick in the 2024 draft as well. So Carolina, obviously very active.
Loading up,
you know, for a playoff run. Good thing we get to play them next week. Sarcasm. But, Guentzel and the Penguins is a whole different story. Well, the Pittsburgh Penguins themselves are a different story. But, Dave, you know, thoughts on these two trades by the Hurricanes?
I mean, I really like them. I've always been a kind of a low-key fan of Evgeny Kuznetsov. I think he kind of realizes this might be his last kick in the can in the National Hockey League. And he went from a very bad team in the Capitals to a very good team with the Carolina Hurricanes that has a couple Russians. Players on the team that know him very well, so he could fit in very well. I think the skill is still there, and he could, if he can find something, he'll find it in Carolina, and that could be a very nice fit to end his career with the Hurricanes. And then, of course, they get Jake Guentzel, who's one of the best American goal scorers in the National Hockey League right now, and they get him for not really a whole hell of a lot. So I think it's really smart ads by the Hurricanes, and you know, this trade for the Pittsburgh Penguins, it's them waving the white flag. They're cooked. It's over in Pittsburgh. I think their rebuild's officially begun again. And let's hope they do so badly again. They get moved to Kansas City finally this time. I tweeted on Sunday when I was watching the Penguins lose to the Edmonton Oilers, I am all here for the downfall of that team. So
yeah,
you, as you would say, Mastro, you just love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we haven't had the luxury that the Penguins have had over the past, what?
It's our turn. It's our turn now.
15-plus years where you get handed a gift and a generational talent like Sidney Crosby.
They got handed multiple gifts.
Yeah, you get Evgeny Malkin, you get, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury, you get back-to-back cups, you know, you enjoy yeah, you enjoy 15 years of just consistent success in, you know, many ways, shapes, and forms, and we're finally starting to see that crumble. And
oh, it's vastly crumbling.
You want to go full like supervillain and give like the, you know, the evil villain laugh.
Oh, I did this weekend.
There you go. I do too, but I'm not going to embarrass myself by trying to do it on the podcast here.
No, neither am I.
So, but I mean, you talk about running for the hills. Penguins fans are going to be in for it here these next few years. And you never know. Again, you know, the NHL could NHL, and they're going to try to, quote unquote, bail out the franchise as they did before they moved to Kansas City, potentially. But that remains to be seen. But we're going to, you know, we're going to enjoy the downfall of our, you know, cross-state rivals here. Sorry, not sorry. But again, like you said, Dave, you love to see it. So, but back to trades, our next deal. Bit of a journeyman here. This happened the day before the deadline on March 7th. The Tampa Bay Lightning acquired forward Anthony Duclair and a 7th-round pick in the 2025 NHL Draft in exchange for defenseman Jack Thompson and a 3rd-round pick in the 2024 Draft from the San Jose Sharks. Duclair, I believe, did score against the Flyers as well, 7 goals on Saturday night. He's also a guy who I would love to have on the Flyers, too. I've continued to say that ever since, you know, every time he's gotten traded, I think he's played for at least 5 or 6 different teams at this point. I've always been like, you know, I wish the Flyers traded for him.
Because, he's a UFA this summer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would love to see him in orange and black is all I'll say, because he is a good player. He's thrived in his own right on each team that he's played for. He's got good speed, good skill, you know. He's a good, again, a good depth guy to have. So we'll see where he, you know, where he lands as a free agent. But for now, he's a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning, and he comes back to bite us in the ass as the Flyers, as he did on Saturday.
He's a very nice ad for the Lightning. Like you said, Matt, he's skilled. He's not afraid to stray away from the physical game, and he's got a hell of a shot and really good hands for Deking. He's a really nice piece for Tampa. And he's going to fit well. I could see him signing with the Lightning, honestly. I could see them trying to keep him long-term. And now he's also played for both teams in the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. So he's seen now both sides of that rivalry. So that's a nice little interesting get. They also got Matt Dumba from the Arizona Coyotes for, like, nothing. So Tampa Bay also having a low-key, nice deadline. But future solid, solid, solid move by getting the player.
Yeah. But... yeah, and then go over, let's say, what, 2-3 more here before we get to our...
We are almost approaching an hour, like at 53 minutes right now.
All right, we'll go over two more quick ones. One of them, again, has to be the Golden Knights, because this is just a recurring theme. This happened on March 5th. I don't know if we covered this because of just for time's sake, but again, the Knights strike again. They acquired forward Anthony Mantha from the Washington Capitals for a 2nd-round pick in the 2024 draft and a 4th-round pick in the 2026 draft. So, you know, Vegas just, once again, that good old circumvention of the cap situation. And I guess you could say, as Knights, playing chess, not checkers.
Yeah, I mean, what they're it's another great ad. I mean, Mantha really hasn't kind of lived up to the hype that he had when he was drafted by the Detroit Red Wings all those years ago. But the skill is still there. You know, he's a nice, big, physical winger with nice hands. He's going to fit in with Vegas. But for everyone complaining about Vegas, it still is – what they're doing is still legal. Where it gets fishy now is if all these players who are on LTIR are all of a sudden ready for game one of the playoffs. Then it's like – okay, you weren't healthy enough for game 82 of the regular season, but game one of the playoffs, when the salary cap disappears, you're all of a sudden healthy. It is suspicious. However, the NHL, it has been confirmed by multiple beat writers, one of them being Elliot Friedman, the NHL does not like it that the Vegas Golden Knights and teams do this. So when you put a player on LTIR for a long time, the NHL does their due diligence and fully investigates and keeps tabs on these players' health and their recovery. Hmm. So the fact that Vegas is being allowed to do this means these are legitimate serious injuries to their team. But I would not be surprised if come the next CBA negotiations, there is a rule put in, kind of like a Vegas rule that gets put in place, where maybe there is a small, there the salary cap carries over to the Stanley Cup playoffs, or you know if a player was on LTIR, if they need to play, if they need to be playoff eligible, they have to play game 82 of the regular season. Like, I would not be surprised if there's some amendment that gets put in because of what Vegas has done these past couple years. But as of right now, it's still legal. And, you know, if the Flyers were contending, if the Flyers were in this shoe, I love it as a fan that they did that, you know, because you're – it's essentially – it's a, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's – they get that advantage of being able to have, hey, listen, we've got a – the Caps, 88 million, something around there. You know, they have the advantage of throwing out a lineup that's like almost 120 million on the cap in the playoffs, yeah, because of what they did.
Believe so, it's going up next year, correct?
It is. The cap is going up. It's going to go up significantly the next couple of seasons.
Yeah.
So very interesting, but for now, Vegas ain't cheating, you ain't trying. It's legal, and I think every hockey fan should be jealous because Vegas can do this. So. That's my thoughts on that matter.
You know, there's nothing illegal about outsmarting the competition. So
yeah, I mean, if every team could do it, they would do it.
Yeah,
They're just not in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you also, like Mark Stone, he's been through the ringer. It's not like he's trying to like, oh, let me lacerate my spleen so my team can get better. He's not trying to do that, you know?
I don't even have a spleen, so I can't do that.
I mean, spleen or spleen it. I mean, you wouldn't want a lacerated organ.
No, that sounds terrible.
So. These are legitimate injuries. So it sucks, but then they're able to bring in the assets because they have good management.
Yeah. So
it is what it is.
We will see, you know, if it helps them. Well, first, they got to make the postseason. But second, yes, you know, they have to potentially defend their title. So, but Dave, I don't know if you have anything that you want to talk about. There are obviously a number of trades that we talk about. I was going to go over, let's see. The last one I was going to go over was the Adam Henrique trade.
It's really just a depth deal for Edmonton. I mean, it's a nice get for them and helps out their center depth, but Adam Henrique, he's not the same player he was when he first came to the league 10 years ago.
Yeah. I guess we can wrap it up with that off of the Vegas trade. But to really wrap things up tonight, Dave, we're going to, again, go through just, you know, our winners, losers, and stay the samers, if that's a word, of the trade deadline. So first, Dave, we'll go, who do you think, quote-unquote, won the deadline by, you know, bolstering their lineup with talent for a playoff run down the stretch here?
I mean, it's the Vegas Golden Knights. The talent they brought in, no other team brought in the equivalent of talent that they did.
Yeah.
They're by leaps and bounds the winner of this deal. And they brought in Hurdle, Hanifin, Anthony Mantha. No one else did that. A lot of other teams made some really nice moves, but no one made great moves. And Vegas brought in elite talent for not a whole lot. So they by far won it. If they miss the playoffs, it's a huge gamble. But if they make it, they're gonna be very well set up to defend their title in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really disagree with that. That's definitely my pick as well. The fact that, you know, we just touched on it for a few minutes there, where it's, you know, if our team were doing the same thing, we'd be like, hell yeah, you know, there's no rule that says you can't. So
yep.
Again, they're playing chess, not checkers. They have good management. They've loaded up on talent, and in pure Vegas fashion, it is a gamble, especially if they don't make the playoffs, but you know, they're going all in, and that's it. I mean, I'm not going to think of any more Las Vegas centric cliches with that. So, I think Vegas takes the W on the trade deadline. And Dave, with that, who do you think is the loser of the deadline?
I've kind of got, I mean, realistically, I think my losers are Pittsburgh Penguins. They, I don't think they sold enough.
Mm-hmm.
And the return they got for Jake Guentzel wasn't very good. And I'm also calling them losers because I love to call Pittsburgh a city of losers. I mean, they could have done more.
Mm-hmm.
Not Sheldon Keefe, their GM who used to be with Toronto. I'm blanking on his name.
Kyle Dubas.
Kyle Dubas didn't make a lot of good moves. He should have sold Brian Rust. He could have sold Malkin. I mean, if I'm Sidney Crosby, I get wanting to play your whole career in one spot, but he's still producing at an elite level. If the Penguins really want to blow things up, maybe you look to trade all those pieces. They brought in Erik Karlsson this year, too, and he hasn't panned out at all what I thought he was going to do. So
I will say this quick. Crosby's contract is up after next season.
So I could see them – maybe he gets dealt at the draft or he gets dealt at next year's trade deadline. But you know, if they're going to rebuild, it doesn't – and he's still producing it the way he's producing, it doesn't make sense for him to stay there.
No.
And I mean, honestly, like it would be nice because he's a hell of a player. But I have to hate his guts because he plays for the Pittsburgh Penguins. But if he got traded to, let's say, the Colorado Avalanche per se, I would be like, okay, cool. I can actually like Sidney Crosby now.
Yeah, I mean, you hate him, but you respect him.
It's like the quote, you know, from Anchorman, Wes Mantooth to Ron Burgundy. God damn it, Ron Burgundy, I hate you, but damn it, do I respect you?
Exactly. Yep, I agree. Yeah, I mean, I have to go with the Penguins, too. Like I said, you know, we've seen them have such a constantly stocked prospect pool over the years. I mean, I saw Jake Guentzel himself get called up from the Wilkes-Barre Penguins when I did an internship with them. Humble brag. But anyway, yeah, I mean, you know, he seemed like the last of the best, so to speak, with the Penguins prospect pool. There's really no other guys at this point that I've heard that are kind of like, oh, like, you know, this is one to watch out for.
They don't have anything.
Like, it just seems completely barren at this point.
Ron Hextall did his damage.
Yes. So.
Perhaps, was he a sleeper agent?
Maybe. A triple agent? He ruined the Flyers.
But then ruined the Penguins.
Then ruined the Penguins, but inadvertently just ruined the Penguins and kind of helped the Flyers.
Yeah.
Some might say. But, no, I mean, again, I think, again, you know, a guy like Guentzel, he was the last piece of the puzzle to kind of make that domino fall. I know that's a weird analogy there, but I think if you get rid of Crosby, you have to get rid of Malkin and Letang as well. Because once one of those three guys is gone, the other two are going to follow suit. Erik Karlsson's a hollow shell of his former self, and that contract's a nightmare. So
yeah, it's going to be a hard contract to trade.
Yeah,
from Pittsburgh. So, like they Kyle Dubas has his work cut out for him.
Yeah, the Penguins, it ain't looking good, Chief, but. Hey,
we're here for it.
Yeah, I'm not going to say I don't like it, but yeah, I mean, they definitely have to be my, you know, quote unquote loser. Dave, if there's anyone that kind of just stood pat and didn't really do much, who would you pick for that?
The Chicago Blackhawks.
Okay.
They want, if not the worst, one of the worst teams in the entire league. And their only move was trading Bolivier to Nashville. They didn't really have many other pieces to sell. And that hurts them. They are a rebuilding team. But like,
they currently are tied for the worst team in the league with guess who?
The San Jose Sharks.
Yes.
Yeah. They didn't really have anyone to get rid of, which kind of hurts them. Like, I mean, you have to imagine if Taylor Hall was healthy, he probably would have been a trade piece. Mm-hmm. Nick Foligno isn't the same player he once was, but I think they re-signed him, so they wanted to keep him because he's a nice guy to build he's a culture guy. But they don't have those assets yet to trade away, so they're kind of staying pat, and they're going to be picking in the top five this year. Again, probably first overall, knowing the NHL and how they do things. But they stood pat, and I'm thinking maybe they should have done more. Like, do you really need to keep Peter Mrazek? Did you really need to keep Nick Foligno? Did you really need, Radish could have got something for him. Jason Dickinson. Like, you wouldn't be getting a whole hell of a lot, but you'd be getting something.
Yeah.
So they're my team that surprisingly stayed pat. I feel like they could have sold more than what they sold in Beauvillier.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I think they definitely are my choice for that as well. I feel like every other team was, you know, at least semi-active, but they really only made that one move, and that was about it. So
another team that could be a loser, I think of two more, and they're both Canadian teams, being the Ottawa Senators and the Calgary Flames.
I would also argue the Blue Jackets, Columbus. They didn't really do much either.
Yeah, they're in a similar boat they probably should have traded Merzlikins.
Yeah.
But they'll probably move him at the draft. But yeah, they're in a whole world of hurt in Columbus too. So
well,
you just feel bad for Ivan Provorov, don't you? I mean, you just really feel bad for that prick.
And Johnny Gaudreau.
Kick rocks to both of them.
Yeah.
I mean, Johnny, if you want to come back to Philly and Columbus, you want to work out a nice little deal, you know, I'll talk. But, you know.
Come on the podcast, Johnny.
Yeah, we'll broker the deal for the Flyers. Stan Helfrich, yeah. Call me up. I'm ready whenever you are. Jonesy, Breer, yeah, I'm ready.
Yep. But, yeah, I mean, again, with that, Dave, you know, that kind of does it. I think we could definitely go over every single deal, but we'd be here for another couple of hours, I think. So, yeah. For our own sake and for our listeners' sake, I think that definitely wraps the trade deadline for us. You know, movers, shakers, staying putters, if that's, again, a word. I'm going to make it a word, at least for tonight. A lot of action, a lot of, you know, changes of location, new faces and new places, all that jazz for the trade deadline. A very entertaining one, as usual. So, you know, at this point, the next big thing is teams beginning to clinch playoff spots. And with that, it just takes me into my final soliloquy here for the week, where back to the Flyers. You got to get it together. And, you know, like any sport, you got to be playing your best down the stretch towards the postseason if you want to have a chance at the postseason and if you want to thrive in the postseason. So, you know, it's time to take care of business if you're the Flyers. And we know how volatile this team can be. But we've seen, again, how good they can be when they need it the most. So
they can also go on a run. You never know.
Yep. But only the worst part about it is only time will tell. And yeah. A month from now, we may well be, you know, very high or very low. So
yeah.
We will see. But that does it for me tonight. And as usual, Dave, The 856 is here. Percepta, I'm going to go catch it, especially if the Flyers lose this game. but I'll throw it over to you, as I always do, to wrap things up for us and to give a couple special shout-outs, as always.
Yes. So with that, Master and I will be back next week with a brand-new pod, as per always. We'll be highlighting, of course, this game that they're playing tonight against the San Jose Sharks, in which it's 2-2 during the second intermission as we close out the podcast here. So we'll discuss this game as well as our other games coming up this week and this weekend. So stay tuned for that. But at this point of the podcast, is where I tell you to check out our great affiliates in one, the Pod Street Bullies. If you like what we do, you will love what they do. They're pumping out excellent weekly content. And then, of course, our second lovely affiliates, the Pheps Sports blog. Make sure checking out our good buddy Rocco Romeo and his site and all the writings they're doing. A big week in Philly sports. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles did get Saquon Barkley. So that's huge. So I'm sure Rocco's got an article coming up for that from his Eagles writer. So check out the Pheps Sports blog and the Pod Street Bullies. But on that note, everyone, stay safe. Enjoy the hockey. And let's go Flyers.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, too.
Yes, happy St. Patty's Day on Sunday. Enjoy your Guinnesses responsibly.
Have a safe and happy St. Patty's Day. I'm not Irish, but I can celebrate like I am.
I am Irish, so I will be enjoying a few pints this weekend.
Here we go. Guinnesses. There we go. Guinnesses for the boys.
Yes. Yes. On that note, though, everyone, good night. Good hockey. Let's go Flyers. The second time.